Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. This is one of those messages, I know what I want to preach, so I was just looking for a verse to go along with it. And there are several. All right, still a Bible message, amen. You know, there are people out there today who teach that the only kind of Bible preaching is expository. And the trouble with that is, you take a look at the New Testament church in the book of Acts, they didn't preach one expository message, and they sure did preach the Bible. I preach about 50% expository messages. Some would give it a different name that sounds like that, but I'm not going to get into that. The important thing is that it's a biblical message. That's the important thing. And we've had a great week with these young people. Thank God for what God's done in their lives. I'm so thrilled that they went, and I hope they never forget this week. Now, this exact week can't be repeated in your life, but you can have a whole lot more like it. That'll be up to you. But tonight, what I'm giving is not just for them, but it's for the adults as well, so that you'd understand a little bit about what's going on and what has gone on. In Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11, you have a very familiar story. It says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me,' and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself," you might underline that, it is a turning point in the message. Now we know this father, by the way, is a good father. I mean, he represents God in the story, so we know he's a good father. How can a good father have such a sorry son? I'm going to tell you how. Son made some bad choices. I don't care who you are. God's created you and your children to have a free choice. You get to make decisions. If you mess up your life, I don't care what background you come from. I don't care what side of the street you were born on. I don't care if your mom and dad were saved or they were lost. If you end up just in the pig pen, it's your fault. It's not your mom and dad's fault. It's your fault. Don't go around blaming your mom and dad. It's your fault. I was brought up in a drunkard's home. I could have been a drunkard. I made choices. By the way, even when I was lost, I made a choice not to drink. When I was lost. Now, I'd say if a lost person can make a decision not to drink, a saved person shouldn't have any trouble with it. I mean, just think about it. You don't have to. You make choices. I wanted something better in my life than what I saw in my family's life. So I made a choice. You get to make choices. This guy made some choices. But here's an amazing thing. He did something that a lot of people don't do. He came to himself. He didn't sit there trying to justify himself. We don't find him complaining about his dad. He was raised better than that. He's made some bad choices. He's ended up in a mess. And instead of justifying it or blaming someone else, it says he came to himself and said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto my father, I have sinned against heaven." Now, you know this boy's on the right track now. He's honest about his sin. "Well, Dad, if you'd have been a better dad, you drugged me to church, Dad." Just stay in the hog pen, son. Just stay in the hog pen, because that's where your heart's at with that kind of an attitude. Not this guy. "I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy." Look at that. "Am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." You know, when they have that attitude, they're welcome home. But until they get it, they shouldn't be welcome home. They need to spend more time in the hog pen. See, we think we need to bail them out of everything. I told my daughters long before they ever became teenagers, I told them, I said, listen, you ever get thrown in jail, you ever get thrown in jail for anything other than soul winning, you're going to sit there for a while. I'm not coming to bail you out. And I meant it. And they knew I meant it. I mean, we got parents bailing kids out all the time, so they always need to be bailed out even when they're 40 and 50 years old. Thank you, Hunter. Some of you got that right away. Others are still, Hunter, what is he talking about? Listen to the news once in a while. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son, which was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now the other son stayed home. We're not going to take the time to read that. But we need to understand some things about our children, some things that are very, very important. First of all, wouldn't you agree that you would expect Goliath? If he had children, you would expect Goliath to raise Philistines. Wouldn't you expect that? And I know Goliath's father raised Philistines. You would expect that. You'd expect Herod, King Herod, to raise Edomite children. And he did. He was very well at it. Shouldn't we expect Christians to raise Christian children? Doesn't happen by accident. Now, understanding always this, they still have a free choice. But you look at the man after God's own heart, David. The reality is, for the most part, his children were washouts. Now, we don't know what happened to Chileab. Evidently, he died young. But there was also Amnon. Amnon got to hanging around family, raped his own sister. David didn't even protect his daughter, Tamar. Absalom murdered Amnon. And then in rebellion against his father, ran him off the throne. Then you got Adonijah, a young man that wanted to take the throne, and the throne wasn't his to take. I'm just simply saying, David had some major problems in his home. I wonder if the kingdom was worth it. Now, we know that the major problems he had in his home basically came from as a result of the sin he had with Bathsheba. And I want to say to David, David, was that worth it really? I mean, we got a lot of parents today, they're interested in so many other things than raising godly children. They've got other things more important to them in their life. Is it really worth it when you get down to the cost? How about Eli? Eli had Hophni and Phinehas. Boy, there was two losers for you. And God told him because of that, his priesthood was going to end. Wasn't going to be carried on in his family. God killed both of them. Aaron's son, Nadab and Abihu, thought they could play with church. They brought strange fire into the temple. God killed both of them. And by the way, God killed both of them and would not let Aaron mourn his children. Think about that. God killed both of them and he wouldn't let Aaron weep over his children. Now, Samuel's children, a little bit different, just that they weren't in the sin that Hophni and Phinehas were in, but evidently their testimony wasn't that great either. But now let's go on just a little bit. What about Adam and Eve's children? Cain was the ungodly line. Seth was the godly line. And I would get the impression that at least Abel would have been a godly line if he hadn't been killed by his brother. They had the same mom and dad. You can't blame the problem with Cain on his friends. Can't blame it on the internet. Can't blame it on TV. I mean, you can't blame it on, you know, going down the street and seeing bars all over the place. You can't blame it on that. Same mom and dad. What do you expect out of other people's children? We realize, being free moral agents, each of them, they've made some good choices this week. But you've got choices tomorrow to make as well, and you've got choices the next day to make as well. You'll have choices throughout your life. You can have as good a life as you want to have. You make the right choices, but you got to make the right choices. How perfect do you expect them to be? Well, now, I would think that my daughters, when they were teenagers, and I would have thought this, they ought to make better choices than I made as a teenager. I was lost. And thank God, I've been tremendously blessed. It wasn't because of great parenting. God blessed us, and we had two wonderful daughters who made right choices. What can I say? I don't take credit for that. It's by the grace of God, because I can look back. I've not always been the best parent. Who has? But they've made a lot of right choices. How perfect do you expect these teenagers to be? Well, let me give you some truths. Number one, understand this. These young people right down here, right there, young people that have made decisions for God, the same devil hates them that hates you. Do you understand that? Their enemies are the same as yours. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. How much better it would be to cry over your children as you pray for them now, pray for them every day now, pray for them every day now, than have to wait until they're away from God and then cry out, not knowing whether or not they're going to be in the pig pen. How about crying out now? Asking God to bring the right people into their lives. One of the things we prayed for both of our daughters, that God would touch the hearts of some godly ladies in the churches that we pastored, some godly ladies to take an interest in our daughters. So that when disappointing mom and dad isn't enough to keep them straight, that some godly lady that they respect and look up to, knowing that they'd be disappointed, might be the tipping point to keep them doing right. I wanted godly ladies to take an interest in my daughters. I didn't want any ladies taking an interest in my daughters who thought that they could, you know, just share with their children, hey, they don't have to live by the strict rules of mom and dad. We tried to keep our daughters away from people like that, who don't care who they hurt, who they ruin, or how they end up. That when the kids end up making bad mistakes because of their counsel, they go off and hide someplace. It's not their fault. We prayed for that, and God gave us, I pastored in Manchester, pastored in Tennessee Ridge, been here for 31 years, and I thank God, God has given us a number of godly ladies that my daughters could look up to and respect and thank and see them as an example. By the way, that's Titus chapter 2. These young ladies right here, and I hope that the parents are just praying that their godly ladies in the church will take an interest in their little girls to love them and to be a godly example for them, somebody that they can look up to. Very important. Because we got the same enemy. The same enemy is the devil. Not only is the same enemy that wants to destroy our children, but there's also the world. The world wants to destroy your children. They delight when Christian children fall into sin. That's proof to the world that, hey, those people are just as bad as we are. Man, they love it. Whoops. Just as much. If I was skinnier, that wouldn't happen so much right there. James 4:4 declares, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Bible admonishes us in 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. You've got a world out there that's calling for their attention. They're going to throw new clothing fads at them to try to get them to look as immodest as they can possibly look instead of godly. Your clothes, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, are to show the hidden man of the heart. You want people to think you're godly, dress like a godly person would dress. And you get to make decisions like that. There's going to be a time when mom and daddy can't make you dress right. And it'll be up to you whether or not you dress right. It won't be on mom and dad. It'll be on you to dress right. Be on you to cover up. When I went to Bible college, I had a couple of things that always troubled me. It troubled me that they had a girls' basketball team where the girls wore shorts. I was at a Bible college. Now, they had to wear dresses that were proper length and modest during class time, but then they got to play basketball in shorts. Nothing modest about that. Not a thing modest about that. No wonder the girls had trouble wearing dresses when the schools tell them, well, there's all right times for you to run up and down a basketball court in shorts and in modesty and let the boys hoot at you. That's okay then. I thought, that's wicked. But the world says, hey, be as immodest as you can. It's all right, and it's not all right. Not only do they have the enemy and the devil, the world, but also the flesh. Now, here's the thing. Each one of these young people, young men, young ladies, they've got the same flesh on them that you've got on you. Paul said, I know that in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. You can't count on the flesh. The works of the flesh which are manifest are these, and then we have a long list of sins that are from the flesh, things that the flesh wants to do in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Review that. Every parent, you ought to review that. Now you say, well, I already know that for myself. Understand it for your children. They've got flesh on them too. And that flesh is going to try to keep them from living for God. Now because we know that, what keeps us armed. But they've got another problem. And that's their hearts. You say, but I saw these precious kids up here. They've got hearts for God. But the Bible says the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible tells us in Proverbs that it is a fool that trusteth in his own heart. Now what the world tells these young people is follow your heart. God says, don't you dare. It's a fool that follows his heart. Follow God's word. God's word is right. God's word knows better than your heart. Matter of fact, one of the things God warned Israel about before they ever went into the promised land, he said, don't do what's right in your own eyes. They get in the promised land, and in Judges chapter 2, the whole book is characterized by that statement. The Bible says, both in chapter 17 and verse 9 and 21-25 of the book of Judges, and in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. No wonder Judges is a book of constant defeat. They did what was right in their own eyes instead of what was right in the eyes of God. And over again it stated the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Why? They were doing what's right in their own eyes. You don't realize there are people out there in all kinds of wickedness today who think they're doing right? And they're not doing right. But it's all right to them. That doesn't make it right. Get in God's word. Find out what's right. Find out what's wrong. The Bible tells us, young people, you need to get this. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. How are you going to keep your heart? How do you plan on this? I'm going to be in the word. That's good. That's a good start. But it's not just that. He says the first thing you've got to do if you're going to keep your heart is put away from you a froward mouth. Don't get around the complainers. Don't get around the critics. Don't get around the gripers. You get around the gripers, you will lose your heart. And once you start letting that griping and complaining, whether it be about your parents, whether it be about your teachers, whether it be about your church or whatever, you get around the gripers and you'll lose your heart. Not only that, then he says, let thine eyes look right on. You got to be careful what you watch. It does matter what you watch on TV. It does matter what you look at on the internet. You just can't, you say, well, I got a membership, I got a Facebook page. It does matter whether or not you get on somebody's Facebook page that is a griper and complainer and puts things on there you ought never see. You've got to be careful about that. By the way, you adults got to be careful about it too. Oh, don't you love that? When you see this term on any kind of entertainment today, adult entertainment, One thing you know, it's not adult entertainment, it's filth. Boy, the world doesn't think much of adults, does it? Adult entertainment, nonsense. Buddy, if it's wicked for them, it's wicked for you. So don't you do it. Their hearts. And then he says, by the way, ponder the path of thy feet. You have to not only be careful about what you look at, but you have to be careful about where you go. You go to the wrong places. You get around the wrong people. Get around the wrong people, you're going to be doing the wrong things. That's what happened to Samson. Samson ends up down in the Philistine country. What on earth was he doing with the Philistines? Found himself a girl there he liked. Said, Dad, get her for me. I tell you, the wrong time to teach your children about who to date, who to marry, the wrong time to do it is when they've fallen in love with somebody they shouldn't be dating and shouldn't marry. You should have been teaching that years before they ever got to that level. They should know that early on. We'd do the family devotions, and I wanted to teach my daughters about things when they were 9, 10, 11 years old. And so I'd say, let's just say one day you're going to be sitting with a guy, and you're just going to be talking. You're going to be in the same place. Everything's fine. He's going to reach up and put his arm around you. What are you going to do? They'd take my arm and they'd throw it down and say, no, that's wrong. Then we'd talk a little bit longer and I'd put my arm around and we were pretending I was just some ugly, wicked, ungodly boy. Because only that kind of a boy would do such a thing. And then I'd do it again. They'd pick it, throw it down and say, stop it, that's wrong. I'm going to tell you why a lot of girls don't respond like that. They weren't prepared to respond like that. They're not sure what to do. They don't want to be unkind. And so they allow it. Now, wait a second. I wanted my daughters, as soon as it happened, I wanted it to be a reflex. Pow! Now, I had the blessing of being a preacher. And being a preacher, of course, I would preach on that. And I preached on it a lot when my daughters were teenagers so that any wicked boy out there knew what he was going to get if he ever tried it. I mean, any girl that just lets some scuzzy boy put their arms around them and handle them and stuff like that, don't think much of themselves. Bless their heart. I mean, if you're a Christian, you're a child of the King. God forbid that they'd be putting their hands on you. That's to be safe for the person you say amen to. Amen, I do. Amen, I do. I love preaching. Gives plenty of opportunities for people to laugh. Amen. And then there's the deceitfulness of sin itself. Hebrews 3:13, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Samuel Pope in his Essays on Man wrote, sin is a monster of such frightful means as to be hated but be seen. Yet seen too oft and familiar with her face is first endured and then pitied and then embraced. Now if you don't believe that, just take a look at what's happened to marriage today. Now we seem to think transgenderism, same-sex marriage, and all that is okay. No, it's as wicked as it's ever been. As it's ever been. Hadn't changed a bit. We've just seen it so often. Man, Hollywood's bombarded you with their situation comedies, and every one of them has some homosexual in it who's the funniest guy and the most personable guy in the whole show. Gets you laughing at sin to where it doesn't seem like such a bad thing. Listen, I know this isn't popular, but God's word is true. God knows what he's talking about. Believe him, believe him, believe him, believe him. Yeah, all our children have the same enemies that we have. You say, but they should know better. Well, so should you. They should want to read your Bible, their Bible. So should you. They should want to pray. So should you. How's your prayer life, by the way? They should always desire to do right. So should you. I mean, I know adults whose attitude stinks. You may know a couple yourself. You may see one when you look in the mirror. Who has trouble with attitude? So don't be shocked when they have trouble with attitude. But just because you say, well, listen, I have that problem. I know they have it, but you're the parent. You're supposed to straighten it out. I don't know how many times my wife ever said to Carrie, I want to see that face change, smile. She would, I want to see teeth. Any other parent ever do that? I want to see teeth. Yeah. Then they can't help but smile. See teeth. Amen. Well, what about the influence of others, preacher? Well, who did Cain have to influence him wrong? He was one of the very first homeschoolers, and he was a murderer. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. The first homeschooler was a murderer? Listen, before there ever was a Christian schooler, before there was ever a public schooler, children went astray. Do you understand that? That's why, one thing I like at Madison Baptist Church, and I've tried to maintain, when we've had basketball teams, we've allowed any of our public schoolers to play, and we've allowed our homeschoolers to play, and our Christian schoolers, because we don't have three youth groups, we have one. One. That's all of our young people. When it comes to our volleyball team, same way. Man, I'm not going to use the Christian school to divide up our youth group. Not going to happen. Can't stand that. Amnon was led astray by a cousin. And it is obvious that they spent way too much time together. You wonder, what on earth got in David's head to allow his son Amnon spend so much time with his cousin alone where nobody knew what was going on? Well, he's family. I got news for you. There are a lot of sorry people in families. Let them play. But don't let them spend so much time together, because I'm going to tell you what. Boys get together or girls get together long enough, they're going to get in trouble. Without supervision, they're going to get in trouble. It's what they do. That's why God gave them parents. To not let them just run all over and get into mischief and stuff. God tells us we're to teach them diligently. The truth is, all relationships are to be guarded relationships. And while the people are young and at home, the main relationship is in the family. In the family. I'm talking about mom, dad, brothers, sisters. That's the main relationship. That's the time to teach them to be friendly to other people. Friends with the right kind of people. And they don't just get to spend time with everybody. I didn't want rebels over at the house leading my daughters into rebellion. There were certain people we didn't want our kids around. Certain church people we didn't want our kids around. Why? We're responsible for raising them up godly. That's why. Well, didn't that hurt somebody's feelings? Well, can't help that. I'm responsible for raising up a godly child. And parents, you're responsible for raising up godly children. Now, great start. Man, this is fantastic. Many decisions made. Good young people. But understand, the enemies want to bring them down. Understand, same temptations you got, same trials you got. They're going to have decisions to make. You need to be praying for them that they'll make right decisions about all kinds of things that are coming up. We know God loves them. He put his son on the cross to die for them at Calvary. I do believe every parent here that if somebody broke into the church and pointed a gun at your child, you would give up your life to protect your child. I believe you'd do that. But we get so careless about the very things that will destroy them in other ways, like it doesn't matter. I'd pay attention to my child's attitude. They get a bad attitude, it's up to you to straighten it up, parents. Do it. Straighten it up. By the way, in our house, their room was our room. Their rooms were open to inspection 24 hours a day, any day of the week, without notice. Well, that's their privacy. Don't you trust them? No, I don't trust them. I've read what the Bible says about us. We're sinners by nature. To keep them out of trouble, I wasn't one of those who wanted to lay a bunch of, trying to think of the word now. It's escaping me, so I'll move on. I was going to lay temptation in front of them just so I could get after them. I wanted to keep them from temptation. Lord, deliver us from evil. So they didn't have a phone in their room. Matter of fact, when they were growing up, of course, they didn't have cell phones, so we didn't have to worry about that. But we had a phone in our bedroom, and we had a phone out in the main room. The children did not have phones. The teenagers did not have phones in their own room. Anything they had to say to anybody, if mom and dad, they didn't want them to hear it, they didn't need to be saying it, period. Parent, be parents. But see, go out and buy them a smartphone, supercomputer, where they can get on the phone all night long with their friends in their room. You don't have a clue what's going on. Even at Madison Baptist Church, we've had young people set up times during the night because they had phones in their room to get up, leave the home while mom and dad are sound asleep, and get back before mom and dad wake up. We've had that happen more than once at Madison Baptist Church, and it's never come out to any good. Parents, you've got to parent them on purpose. It takes work. Yeah, we want to have a child, that cute little adorable baby. Just understand that adorable baby is going to become a rotten teenager one day. And they're going to know all the ways to get around things. And you've got to be diligent. I've asked this question in a lot of different churches across America. How many of you adults, and I want you to answer this now by raising your hand, how many of you adults did things when you were a teenager your parents didn't know about? Would you raise your hand, please? Good night alive. You wicked people. Now, don't get stupid on me. You think your child won't try it? You think they won't try to get away with things? As a matter of fact, some of you would probably have a heart attack if they came to you and told you some of the things they've done you still don't know about. I did things my parents didn't know about, but I was lost. Now, they may try it. That's why you got to be smarter than them. You check it out. You check them out. Be a parent. Now, I'm going to tell you the final point on this. This is something that I made sure of. Growing up in the home I grew up in, we never said I love you to one another. I'm sure my mom told me she loved me a few times. I just don't remember it. And I don't remember my dad, while I was growing up, ever saying I love you. He didn't talk like that. He was one of those World War II guys that just, you know, we didn't talk like that. But I wanted to make sure that my daughters knew that their daddy loved them. And I told them that over and over and over and over. I even told them that before I whipped them. Didn't I? Yeah, they heard that about it. I don't think they believed me, but I'll tell you what, they were believers when I was done whipping. That I loved them. Your kids need to hear you love them. I don't care where you come from in this world, what your societal background is like, your children need to hear you love them. Don't be ashamed to say it. And it shouldn't sound like you've never said it before. I love you. It's easy. If you're one of those people who have a hard time saying it, stand in front of the mirror and say it several times. Record it and listen back. Does it sound real? Make it real. I love you. If you think you love your kids and you can't say I love you to them, there's something wrong with you. You need to get it right. Make sure they know you love them. By the way, it makes the chastening better. It makes everything better. There are going to be hard times in life. There may be hard times in relationships from time to time. But love will make the difference. make sure they know you love them. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.